Good afternoon. The Labor, Industry, and Veterans and Military Affairs, Finance, and Policy Committee will come to order. I would like to announce that this meeting will take place in accordance with House Rule 10.01. This meeting may be viewed on House Public Information TV, which is available on the House website. As is custom with this committee, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mr. Petrie, you please take the roll.
Chair Eklund.
Present.
Chair Eklund, present. Representative Zhang. Representative Detmer. Representative McDonald. Representative Berg.
Present.
Representative Berg, present. Representative Bliss.
Present.
Representative Bliss, present. Representative Edelson. Representative Frederick.
Present.
Representative Frederick, present. Representative Greenman.
Present.
Representative Greenman, present. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, present.
Representative Nelson, present. Representative Poston.
Poston, present.
Representative Poston, present. Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh, present.
Representative Raleigh, present. Representative Sundin. And Mr. Chair, we do have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Petrie. Quorum is present. Next on the agenda is the approval of minutes from February 11th, 2022. Representative Berg, did you get a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chair, and I moved those minutes.
Representative moves the minutes from February 11th, 2022. Any questions or additions or deletions? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Or say nay. Motion is minutes are approved. Members, we have one bill on the agenda today, which is from Representative Lucero, House File 2693. I will move that House File 2693 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. Representative Lucero, please introduce your bill.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. It is an honor to be before you. I don't believe I've been before this committee before. So, again, thank you so much for the opportunity to present House File 2693 before you. A little background, there is presently in law a definition of essential employee, which includes, among others, firefighters, peace officers, 911 system, and police and fire safety, public safety dispatchers, guards at correctional facilities, confidential employees, supervisory employees, assistant county attorneys, assistant city attorneys, and there's more. What I seek to do in this bill is to add to that list medical examiners, coroners, medical death technicians, and medical death investigators. Mr. Chair, this was the result of a constituent who reached out to me seeking to change this definition. And with that, Mr. Chair, I do have two testifiers, and I will turn it over to you to call on your preference.
Thank you, Representative Lucero. The first testifier is Carrie Notch. Ms. Notch, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, they're in the waiting room, and I just hit admit into the room, but it's still joining, so we may need to just wait a minute if Representative Lucero would like to elaborate, perhaps. There seems to be a mix-up about the link to get into the rooms from the testifiers, so we're waiting.
Thank you, Mr. Reese. Let me know when we're. I see Carrie's trying to connect. Ms. Notch is trying to connect audio right now, so she is here.
Hello.
Ms. Notch, Chair Eklund here. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi there. I'm Carrie. Can you see me okay and hear me?
Yep, Ms. Notch, please use your full name for identification.
Hi, my name is Carrie Notch. Good afternoon, Committee Chair Eklund and members of the House. Can everybody hear me okay?
We can hear you fine, Ms. Notch.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, we can.
Thank you for taking time to listen to us today. My name is Carrie Notch, and I've been a medical legal death investigator for several different counties throughout the state of Minnesota for over 23 years. And I want to first start out by just mentioning that I'm here testifying as a citizen of the state of Minnesota, not as a representative of any of my employers, just so I make that clear as I start today. But I'm speaking on behalf of Bill HF2693 today. For those who don't know exactly what we do with the medical examiner's office, I want to just start out by explaining in the state of Minnesota, there's a mixture of both coroner's offices and medical examiner's office. And the difference between the two are that coroners are elected and medical examiners are appointed. But basically the job itself, for the most part, is the same. We're a vital link in the emergency medical response system in the state of Minnesota. What we do, our role is a completely neutral role in the state. We are highly trained. Many of us are highly educated. Many of us are, our agencies require ABMDI certification for us investigators. For example, that's the American Board of Medical Legal Death Investigation. So I am nationally certified with the board and have to get continuing education credits every so many years to maintain my certification. But ultimately, the role of the medical examiner is to determine the cause and manner of death of individuals who pass away in the state of Minnesota. And with that being said, we work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when someone passes away in our jurisdiction, we are called to that death, or we are called about that death, for example. People may die at home, they may die in the street, they may die, you know, in a motor vehicle accident or in a hospital. The situation, whether it be a doctor calling the death in, a law enforcement officer, paramedic, fire, a first responder, we get that call and then we make a decision from there as to what happens as far as the investigation is concerned. People are always dying. It's the only absolute in the world. For example, the one agency that I work for, we had over 9,100 deaths last year. So there's never a shortage of deaths in the state. That averages to about 25 deaths in a day. We're already considered essential by our employer. We're mandated to have a certain amount of people on shift. We have shift minimums. We can't not have medical examiner employees working every single day. What we do is we're called by an individual who responds to a death. So say, for example, a child is unresponsive at home. 911 is called. The first responder goes out there, determines that the death has occurred. So the person is pronounced deceased. Then we get the call and make a decision as to whether or not we need to respond personally out there, or if the individual has documented medical history and we don't need to respond. Say we need to go out to that scene. We go out, we investigate the circumstances, we take a medical history, social history, we take photos, we collect evidence, we interview family, friends, witnesses, the last person to have known the person alive. We do basically a whole set of investigative details, and we create what is a case synopsis that we put together and create this for the individual. And that's what we bring back to our office, along with the decedent and any evidence to support what it is we've determined has taken place. And that individual then comes to our office and has an autopsy or may be released directly to a funeral home. Bottom line is we determine what happens to that individual when they pass away, whether they go to a funeral home or whether they go to our office for further examination. What ultimately has to happen is the individual can't just stay out in the area in which they pass away. And that's what our role is, to take care of that individual. We also are the agency that's responsible for notifying family when someone passes away. We're the agency that's responsible for identifying individuals who pass away. Another huge responsibility of ours has to do with organ donation. When someone passes away, if they've indicated on their driver's license or their state ID or indicated to family that they want to be an organ donor, it's the medical examiner's office to responsibility to facilitate that happening. And that's very time sensitive. There's only a certain amount of time in which you can actually procure and actually donate your organs because of different restrictions as far as the timing is concerned for the transplant. And so we have to facilitate that. And again, it's very time sensitive. So we're working with different agencies on that and making sure that that takes place based on eligibility and different timelines. And so it's us that approve of those things after the death occurs and facilitate that process. We've also very much have taken in the burden of the increased exposure with COVID and, you know, the increase in the violence of deaths within the last couple of years. We're on the front lines there with law enforcement, with paramedics, with fire. We're out at those scenes. We're recovering the decedents. We're out there collecting the evidence when the death occurs with those homicide scenes. We're out there climbing, you know, in the woods, underneath, you know, stairs in the apartment complexes, through houses that are not in the best condition to try to recover individuals. It's been a difficult several years, but, you know, we are right there with the other individuals that are listed as essential employees. And we are asking that we are given strong consideration for the bill HF 2693, adding medical examiner employees as essential. And we just really appreciate your time today for listening to us.
Thank you, Ms. Notch. Please stick around in case there's any member questions for you after your testimony. Appreciate it.
Next up is
Macy Berg. Ms. Berg, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Macy Berg, and I am a death investigator. Again, like Carrie, I'm not here representing my employer. I'm just here as a citizen who happens to work as a death investigator. Well, Carrie pretty much touched base on everything, so I strongly support everything that she stated. Time is of the essence with our job. We're right on the front lines with law enforcement and also with health professionals investigating deaths. Our job is incredibly important for organ donation, which means a lot to families when they do lose a loved one. I guess that's all I really needed to add. Carrie did touch base on everything, but again, I support everything she stated and strongly believe that we, death investigators, our autopsy techs, our coroners, medical examiners should all be added to the statute. I think it was just an oversight when it was originally drafted. But as you can see, were essential to making sure that deceased bodies are handled appropriately. So
thank you, Ms. Berg. And Sam, would you please stick around in case there's any questions from members? Appreciate it. Next up, Kirk Peterson, Policy Program Manager at Hennepin County. Mr. Peterson, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Kirk Peterson. I'm one of the lobbyists for Hennepin County. And I appreciate Representative Lucero bringing this issue forward. Of course, now my dog is going to take this opportunity to think it's playtime. Say hi to Freddie, everybody. Unfortunately, we do have some concerns about unintended consequences with this bill and potential violations of existing labor laws with the way HF 2693 is currently drafted. Just to give the committee a little bit of history on this issue, it did come up last year with the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's Office and staff considering a legislative proposal to have ME death investigators included in as first responders for statewide emergency declarations. The reason we did this is during the early stages of the pandemic, initial emergency declarations did not include ME staff or other death care industry personnel as first responders, meaning that even though they were responding to numerous emergency situations like Ms. Notch talked about, and even though they were exposing themselves to COVID patients, they were not eligible for emergency child care assistance and other benefits that went along with those declarations. Ultimately, the governor did include these personnel in subsequent orders, and because of that, we did not pursue a legislative fix for this in 2021, but we did continue talking to staff about it. Last year, Representative Lucero introduced a separate but similar bill, HF 1055, and it's similar to this one, except it only included death investigators and not the full list of employees that are in this year's bill. And it, again, it added these different categories to the definition of essential employees under PELRA. And we should note that that is a definition, that the essential definition or essential employees list is something that has been carefully crafted involving labor unions and management over the years. And really both sides are very hesitant to make the change to that law. And it's different than defining them as first responders, which would be a kind of a different approach to this. And so our office and the ME's office staff did meet with Representative Lucero last year after he introduced the bill to let him know of these concerns, and that we do want to recognize the important role that death investigators can play in the process, but that this legislation wouldn't result in any additional protections or benefits for many of the workers, but instead could complicate existing employment relations and would likely conflict with federal laws, particularly FLSA. But we were clear that we wanted to keep working on this to find a solution that would make everybody happy. And after that, our office took no action at the Capitol. We didn't talk to any other legislators about it after our meeting with Representative Lucero. Brings us up to this year. Representative Lucero introduced the new legislation that adds a couple other categories to the bill, classifications of workers to the bill. Just want to touch on what our specific concerns are that weren't addressed last year. And I'll be quick. I know I'm taking up a lot of time here. Real quickly, Chapter 179A, the Public Employee Relations Act, PELRA, governs the interactions between employees, essential employees, and their unions. The act does not provide for specific operational advantages in the definition of an essential employee. And as Ms. Notch just went over pretty thoroughly, better than I could do since I'm not an ME or a coroner, we have a mixed ME coroner system in the state. Except for Hennepin and Ramsey counties, most meteorological death investigators are not union employees. Therefore, the benefits conveyed in 179A or PELRA would not be applicable to most of the job classifications or employees listed in the bill. Including ME death investigators in this section of PELRA might cause a realignment of staff or unemployment classifications and may impact benefit packages. The unions may not support these changes and may impact existing negotiated labor contracts. Hennepin County employees are currently part of PERA, and this legislation may have unintended impacts on individuals through reassignment to different benefit groups within PERA, specifically for essential workers. And the consequences of those realignments at this point aren't known. On to the federal issue. Federal law, specifically the Fair Labor Standards Act, FLSA, provides distinct benefits to essential employees for the purposes of overtime and hours worked. The definition of essential in FLSA is prescriptive and does not include meteorological death investigators, MEs, or coroners. HF 2693 does not create an exemption to the definition of an FSLA for any other avenue to leverage these individual benefits. And adding this definition in statute could actually result in changes to shift scheduling requirements and other labor and employment provisions that have already been negotiated. We also have some concerns about how the bill might impact procedural and operational requirements that MEs have. Police, fire, emergency personnel are by law essential employees who do have a statutory duty to respond to emergencies. Minnesota law intentionally does not require medical examiners, coroners, or meteorological death investigators to respond to every death scene. Simply isn't necessary to have an ME investigator report to nursing homes, hospitals, other routine obvious death scenes. But this legislation, in our view, the way we read it, opens the legal argument to hold medical examiners liable for civil proceedings if they fail to respond to every death scene. Similarly, Minnesota does not currently have a pronouncement law which requires MEs or meteorological investigators to make a declaration of death at every scene. Requiring them to do so would require local governments to significantly increase staffing levels and resources at taxpayer expense. Finally, Mr. Chairman, the Supreme Court has ruled that ME offices must remain independent from law enforcement associations. Classifying ME investigators in the same section of law enforcement may blur that line, particularly if staff realignments or bargaining representation changes because of this statutory change. This legislation was not proposed by any of the four medical examiner offices in the state. It has been discussed. They're all aware of it. To me, they've all expressed the same concerns that I'm laying out here. And so those are our concerns in a nutshell. Again, as last year, Representative Lucero, we appreciate you bringing this this issue forward. We want to keep working on it. We think there is a way to recognize the critical role that ME investigators play in the state in both for both a health and public health and public safety perspective. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I'll stand for any questions if you want me to stay on.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. If you would, I'd appreciate that. There's no other testifiers, so we have members' questions. Representative McDonald.
Hi, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. Representative Lucero, thanks for bringing the bill. I have a question for Ms. Notch, if she's still on the line.
She is Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Ms. Notch, just in your expert opinion, I've had several folks here in Wright County, including a couple of deputies, Wright County deputies, and some friends and constituents who said that their loved one over the last year died from one incident was a motorcycle accident, another was pneumonia or heart attack or old age, but their death certificate said death by COVID. Is that your profession, the medical examiner's position? Is that who would be defining them at that death and writing that down?
Ms. Notch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if it was a motorcycle accident, it would be a death that would be reportable to the medical examiner's office. If it was a death as a result of pneumonia, it would depend on the circumstances as to where the individual passed away. If they passed away in their home, every home death in the state of Minnesota is reportable to the medical examiner. If they passed away inpatient in a hospital, those deaths are not reportable to the medical examiner unless there was injury or trauma that played a role in that death. Those deaths would then be reportable to the medical examiner. If they died in the hospital, but they died in the emergency room or in an operating room, those are the only deaths that are reportable to the medical examiner unless there's injury or trauma that played a role in those deaths. So it depends on the circumstances. However, with COVID, if COVID was a diagnosis that the patient had and they were in a motor vehicle accident, that may be listed on the death certificate as an other significant condition. There's part of the death certificate that has a section that that may list some other conditions of the patient, might not be the primary reason why they passed away or the primary cause of death. It could have been listed under a different section of the death certificate, but not the primary cause. That might be what they were referring to. I would have to take a look at the death certificate.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you. So really in the last 2 years, because of the China virus, the COVID virus, you have definitely been essential, I guess is what I have to draw that conclusion as why I would support the bill and encourage the chair to put it in the omnibus bill, because it does seem like it's long overdue. And I just wanted to clarify if that was indeed the medical examiner's position and or job, that there was a case of a gentleman who got killed in a motorcycle accident and his death was by a motorcycle, but yet the ME must have diagnosed him with COVID and that's what was written down. So I wanted to just wonder if that was the situation there. And I thank you for your testimony and I support the bill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. And I appreciate the question and where you're going with it, but I gotta remind you, this is not whether you're gonna mitigate whether calls were made on COVID deaths or not. So are you any other questions, Representative McDonald? Your hand is up, but I'm just making sure.
No, I'll lower my hand. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other member questions? Final comments, Representative Lucero.
Well, thank you so much again, Mr. Chair and committee, for this opportunity. And I very much appreciate the testifiers. And I very much also appreciate the remarks from Hennepin County as well. And I'm interested if there's opportunity to make some changes. I'm definitely open to that, to get the stakeholders in agreement. And so again, I'll just put out there that I'm very much willing, if there's an amendment or additional verbiage, and would love to continue to work on this. So thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Lucero. I will renew my motion that House File 2693 be laid over. The bill is laid over. Any further questions or comments from members? We got a pretty light load of bills coming our way, so let's see if you guys are working on something, let me know. But any comments from the members before we adjourn?
Just Mr. Chair.
Representative McDonald.
I just appreciate your hearing my bill tomorrow and Representative Lucero's bill today, and your bipartisan good work in the legislature here on our committee. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. But seeing no other member comments, we'll see you tomorrow at 3 p.m. We are adjourned.